Well, I covered your prayers this morning. Definitely thank the Lord for His keeping power. And it never changes. What changes is us, humans. Sometimes we accept it. Sometimes we reject it. But the power is always there. But that's not my burden this morning. My burden is more on the lines of the other thing God has given us. Not only the opportunity to receive His power and to use His power, but I'm thinking about one word, and maybe we'll expand it to a few words, but I'm thinking about time. And if we could have a title for the message this morning, it would be Time is Short. And before we get in too much of this, I want to draw a diagram. I've drawn this up on the board before, but perhaps it'll help, again, through the little discourse this morning. And while I draw this diagram, maybe we could sing a couple of verses of number 236. Let's just do the first and second verse.
236. Watch and pray that when the Master comes,
okay, I have a little diagram, a crude diagram drawn up here, basically trying to represent a few things. Let me make a few of these a little more obvious here. What I have drawn is a diagram of time. And up here, though, is eternity. All right? So we have eternity, which you all have heard the geometry terms that a true line has no beginning or end. Well, that is eternity. That's forever. So there's no beginning and there's no end. Okay? But here in the middle of eternity is a dot.
And that dot is time. Okay? But if you expand or you blow up or zoom up on that dot, you'll find here is time right here. Okay? And time is a segment. There's a beginning and there's an end. Okay? So we have roughly 6,000 years, and I didn't draw all the centuries on here. But we have time. The beginning, when God created man and earth, man and woman, the earth. And all throughout time, there's been millions, billions of people that have lived. And here we have, coming to the time of Christ, and we have the year 2013. Then somewhere in the middle here, we'll just pick the 1900s to the year 2000. Another little, and we zoom up on that, so we have 1900 to 2000. Then somewhere here, before the year 2000, and this is just my life for example, there was another little dot, okay? And right there in that little dot is my lifetime. Born in 1976, I had a beginning. Somewhere out here, I don't know where, is an end of my life. And here's 2013. And I know I have a good friend of mine was joking with me when I turned 36, sent me a text and said, well, how does it feel to have half your life over? And he put it more bluntly, how does it feel to be half dead? And I just kind of scratched my head on that one. I'm like, you know, you're right. 36 being half of 72, that's, I'm like, wow. But truly, that is life. You know, life has its beginnings and its ending points. And how many times, it wasn't too long ago, we'd watched a, a little documentary on the Joplin tornado. And it had a lot of live interviews of some of the media that was there on the scene, and there was a tornado chaser that caught a lot of it on film, the very beginning of it, and kind of his discourse throughout the trauma there that was going on. And when it was all over with, I was thinking, man, that was about 2 years ago when the Joplin tornado came through. And then I thought back a little before that, I'm like, well, it was about 5 years ago when the tornado came through northern Neosho, or Seneca, northern Neosho, and Granby, and Newtonia. That was 5 years ago. And in some ways, that seems like it was just yesterday or last week. But that's how we do a lot of times. We measure time by monumental events. There's some other events taking place. Later this week, my youngest will be turning 10 years old. I'm like, wow, time flies. And then just the other day, I was talking with someone, and they're fixing to celebrate their 20th class year reunion. I'm thinking, wow, 20 years. And then I'm like, well, it's 19 for me this year. I'm like, okay, next year will be our 20th class reunion. And then this year, come June, will be about 26 years since my dad passed away. Like, okay. And then I thought about all the, you know, you hear all these statistics that every second there's, I don't know the exact statistics now, but there's a certain number of babies born every second in the earth, in the world. And then there's also every second there's a certain number of people that die. And truly the population of the world, the earth, just keeps multiplying. Every century, it just multiplies dramatically. And then here's this thing. God has given us time. All right? He's given us a segment of time, a beginning and an end. And in the middle of all this, we live life. Okay, and it's good. It's good life. Just for example, in our congregation alone, we have, I don't know, three or four weddings taking place later this year. That's a good thing. And then we have several graduating from high school, from college. Another good thing. You know, life is moving on. Time is moving on. And so it's one of those things. I remember different ones have said, you know, they go to a cemetery and they look at the tombstones and they'll see, their birth date, say 1976. And then they'll see maybe the year 2005, and that's when they died. And they'll make the comment, well, I wonder, well, they were so young and they died and at a young age. But yet they look at those numbers and they say, well, what about that dash in between there? That's where they lived their life, all right? And that was a time that God gave them, the time allotted them to live life, all right? You know, it's the same with you and I. We don't know when our end is. We don't know where this little dot, that's why I put a question mark over here. I don't know when my last day will be. I hope it's way out here, but I don't know. And truly none of us know. But there's something about it that we as humans, it's so easy to get caught up in the intricate details of life. Such as, it's easy to, well, I heard a young adult just recently say, you know, they were 22, 23 years old, and they made a comment that they said, wow, once I graduated, it's like life is moving at warp speed. And I'm thinking, you don't even know. You're not married, you don't have children. You know, you got a job, you got a career, but just wait till all that takes. And then life really ramps up. But he's dealing with the details of his life right then. And it's so busy. So much, his life is so full. And truly that is the case with all of us. I guarantee you we could take a poll of the teenagers in here, and they would all agree that life is very busy for them. And I remember back when I was just a little guy, I actually remember being bored occasionally. Now, I wouldn't tell my parents that, or they'd put me to work. But I remember being bored occasionally. And now it's like most of us as adults, we don't know what that means. We don't know what being bored means. There's so much that we can get bogged down in and filling our life, filling our time with life, I should say. And truly, it's one of those things that it'll catch us off guard sometimes. It's been the last few years I'm more keenly aware of these things called collectibles, and it's interesting though that now there are some little toys that I played with as a little boy that are now called vintage collectibles. Well, that's scary, but it's true, and that's what they're collecting. They're valuable because they're 25, 30 years old. They're vintage. And that's a part of my life. It's being called vintage now. But that's the reality, that time is short and time is moving on. You guys have heard these sayings before, that time marches on. It doesn't wait for anybody. That is so true. But here is, I want to read some scriptures here to give us a little insight of how God looks at time. Let's turn and read the 90th chapter of Psalms. In Psalms 90, verse 9, says, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told." So brief, it's almost like a sigh. It's like, it's gone. It's here and then it's gone. And then verse 10, "The days of our years are 70 years and 10. See, that's where the 70 or 72 came from. "And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." In verse 12, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." You know, that's the challenge. I believe all of us, well, I'll speak for myself first, okay, that it's so easy to waste valuable time. Is that not true? It's one of those things when, especially early in my career, I worked at a factory, manufacturing facility, and time was a very critical essence in this manufacturing facility, because the more items you could stamp out and assemble and ship out the door, and it'd be a quality product, the more you could cram in an hour, the more you could cram in a day, the more profit margin there was for the company. And the beauty of it was, the more profit the company made, the better off not only was your job secure, but you would get benefits from that. There was profit sharing involved. They would have these little grill. They start out with just hamburgers and hot dogs. If you reach a certain level, we're going to have a big company cookout and reward everybody. But then it got to where they kept raising. And if you continue to improve on your time and put out more, we're going to have a steak cookout. And that really got people fired up. And that's exactly what they bought ribeyes for everyone in the company. So that was an incentive there. But the point was, you don't waste time. And if you see someone else wasting time, you go check on them. See, hey, can I help you out? You know. But time was of essence. And you know, that's the same with you and I. That time is critical. And truly, it's one of those things as life moves on. I know I can reflect back in my life and think of, I'm like, wow, I did this and this and this. And I spent this much time on that. And that was a waste of time. And I'm thinking, looking ahead, like, oh, Lord, help me not to waste valuable time on that again. Or whatever the case is, but that's life. And it's so easy to get bogged down in the little details of life. But here it is, we have where God is reminding us through the psalmist here that life is brief. And then in verse 12 it says, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. In other words, Lord, help us to live each day to its fullest. I'm not talking about living selfishly. That's not the point. But it's seeking the Lord, saying, Lord, how would you want me to spend my time this day? I want to tell you something. That's a challenge for me. I have a family. I have a career. I have different things involved in it. And it's so easy that we can spend our time selfishly, where we're not spending it just asking the Lord, and truly it is God's will, especially as a father and as a husband, that we are supposed to provide for our family. So there's a default position there we should fill. And the mothers at home that are taking care of children and all those things, that's important, that's critical. But the point is that we need to ask the Lord for wisdom. Lord, how do you want me to number this day? How do you want me to allocate my time this day? Because I don't want to waste it. And why should we have that prayer? Because time is short. We never know when it might be our time to go. There's another verse I want to read in James, the 4th chapter. And this brings it out too. James 4. James 4, verse 14. It says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. That's life, dear ones. And how many times have we seen, I mentioned earlier, you know, talking about my life, you know, born in 1976, and my life is halfway over, if you want to use that analogy. But let's just go back. We talked about the tornado that went through Granby 5 years ago. And I was speaking earlier about those that are fixing to get married this year. I mean, we'll be married 17 years come this September. And I'm thinking, where has the time gone? 17 years. And then but then you think back, let's go back 10 years. And who got married in the last 10 years? And then perhaps, I'm just talking maybe in our congregation, or those that have lived here in this congregation, who all has died and gone on to the reward in the last 10 years? Let's go back 20 years, 30 years. The numbers just start racking up. How many babies have been born in the last 5 years, 10 years? Time moves on. It doesn't stand still. I mean, I'm looking now at a lot of my nephews that are a fraction of my age, a lot taller than me. I used to wrestle with them in the floor. And now they're way outgrown me. I'm like, where did time go? That's life. It moves on as a vapor. It appears for a little time and then passeth away. And so here is the challenge this morning. There's two channels of thought. This is very simple and very brief. But as you can see, time is very brief. And we don't know when it'll end. Well, there's two channels of thought. There's a saying that says, take time to smell the roses. So that's one aspect. And there's also this saying, a song actually written that says, take time to be holy. So those are the two things I want to focus on here for a little bit. Let's consider, take time to smell the roses. You could ask yourself this question. If you had 3 months to live, and you knew that was going to be your end, what would you spend your time doing? It's very thought-provoking, is it not? But yet, it is so true with all of us in this room. From the smallest little infant in here to the oldest person in this room, we don't know when our end is going to be. And so, Lord, help us to take time to smell the roses. You understand what that's saying? I'll try to explain it for some of the younger children. That means take time to enjoy life. All right? I'm not meaning to live life selfishly. I'm talking about take time to spend with your loved ones, your children, your parents, your grandparents. Take time to call them up, send them a text, go visit them. And we'll get more literal here. Take time to smell the roses. Take time to go take a walk and look at God's beautiful creation. You know, sometimes that's hard to do. Say, no, I'm going to take an hour out of my 24 hours in this one day that God has given me, and I want to just take a walk. And this is springtime, so it's fixing to get really pretty here in a little while. Everything's starting to green up, and the flowers, and then the trees. But sometimes we just need to take time to take a walk and maybe spend that time talking with the Lord. You see what I'm saying? Take time to smell the roses. Spend time with your loved ones. Because you never know when the end will be near for you or for your loved one. Now, take time to be holy. That's another thought. You know, it makes me think of going back to my reminiscing about my school days. And it's been a while back, as I'm now realizing. But I remember so vividly taking these dreaded things called tests. Now, you children in service here, you understand what I'm talking about. Test, a dreaded word. And I never did do very good at tests. I'd have to study. It's just hard to retain it all. But you know what I'd find myself doing? I'd procrastinate. I'll just put it off. And then finally at the last, sometimes 30 minutes before class, and another class that was just kind of, so-so, I'm studying in the class previous. Cram studying is what they called that, all right? Or maybe on the school bus riding to school, I'm trying to study with, paper bouncing and kids bothering. Be quiet, I'm trying to study. When in reality, I should have been studying for hours previous to that, or for days previous, because I knew about the test 2 weeks prior to the test. But it's so easy to put those things off, you see? Because I'm thinking, I have all the time in the world, all right? And I know that test day is out there, but it's so easy to put things off. Do you know there are people that live their lives like that? They use this scripture in Psalms that I read, of 70 or 80, whatever, and 10, about 70 years old or 72 years old, they use that as their ending point. And they're thinking, I can live life how I want to live all the years prior to that. In the last couple of years, I'll kind of settle down and I'll get my life straight and I'll do right. I'll live for the Lord and I'll get busy doing something for the Lord. You realize there's people that live their lives like that? They're procrastinating their souls. They're procrastinating their work for the Lord. They're procrastinating getting saved. All those things, I'll just put it off. And then at the very end, they want to cram study. You see what I'm saying? Oh, no, I'm going to really serve the Lord. Or sometimes we'll get down a little closer here. Because I remember going through this phase. I remember getting saved. All right? At a young age. And then for years there, I just kind of stopped at that. I didn't really want to go on to the second step of getting sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit. Why was that? You realize there was a fear that I had within me that I'm afraid God might call me to preach. I had that fear, you know. Or I'm afraid that God would want me to be a missionary. Or I'm afraid that God would want me to go do this or do that. And all these things, I'm like, I'd want to keep putting that off. Like, oh no, no, not right now. But that was just the natural tendency, all right? I want to procrastinate that. Well, we got some news for you. There's also in life, because I remember in school, you know what else our teachers would do? They'd give us pop quizzes. You remember what those are? That means you did not have time to study. You had to be ready with what you had on hand, all right? You had to take a test. You know, that's what happens sometimes in life. Because sometimes I'm thinking in my life, it may be way out here. Let's say, 2060. I'm going to live to be a ripe old age up here. But sometimes in life, God's going to give us a pop quiz. And maybe it's right here. It may be just a few years from now. I don't know. And here is the fact of the matter. I'm going to have to face God with what I have on hand when He calls me to go home. I don't know when that's going to be. You don't know when that's going to be. But there's some scriptures regarding this. In 2 Peter, the third chapter. We'll start with verse 3. Says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. How many times have you heard people comment as such? They're saying, oh, since Jesus' days. You know, the apostles, the disciples, and they're talking about the end is near, you know, and they're like, that was about 2,000 years ago, and it hasn't ended yet. And they're like, so if that's the case, I can just live my life however I want to, because the end's not going to come. And, you know, that may be true. The end of time for all mankind may not come in that person's lifetime. But guess what? The obvious reality that the devil tries to blind people's minds with is yes, the end of the world may not be in their lifetime, but there's going to be an end to your own life. And you and I, like I mentioned, we don't know when that end's going to be. But it goes on here. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Let's skip on down, verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. You realize God does not measure time like we do? We measure time in seconds, minutes, hours, days, years. And that's what I wrote up here. Time, that's what I was measuring in. Years, that's a typical. But God doesn't look at it that way. He's saying here, one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. Just look up here. Let's just use the 1,000 years. Say a couple thousand years since Christ. 2,000 years. That's as if it's just one. That's like one day to the Lord. So time is a total, we can't comprehend it. Where God's up there in heaven, and all these babies are being born, all right? So he's putting humans on the earth. At the same time, he's receiving those that are dying. And it's just like, give and take, give and take. And that, And he's been doing that. But it's like, and 1,000 years go by, that's just a day. It's like, but with us, we measure, the sun comes up and the sun goes down. Another day has come and gone. And so many times we get caught up in all the in-between that we forget to be studying for the test. You understand what I'm talking about here? It's so easy to procrastinate dealing with our soul that's going to live forever in one of two places. You realize the fact of the matter is, I cannot change that truth. You cannot change that truth. God set it up that way. I can't change that. You and I are going to live forever in heaven or in hell. And so it's up to us. What are we going to fill our time with while we're here on earth? Am I going to fill my time with studying? Now, I'm not talking about perhaps literally cracking a book. Oh, yes, it's good to read the Bible. That's not my point here. But it's more, it goes beyond more than just studying the Bible. It goes into living the Bible out, all right? Living the example before those that are around us. Because you guys have heard this saying, that we sometimes are the only Bible that someone else is going to read. Now, I want to tell you this for a fact. I'm working with a guy right now. He said he hasn't darkened a church door since he was a little boy. And he's 43 years old. I'm like, okay. But that explained all the other chaos that I've been hearing and seeing in his life. And it's almost a joke now that some of the folks that we're working with there in the office, they're like, man, it's just like a dark cloud follows him around everywhere he goes. Because he has all these stories of things that have happened to him. And I mean, he almost has died multiple times. He almost lost his son to a heart attack recently and all these things. And he just recently had a four-wheeler accident that crushed four ribs and punctured his lung, and he's been in ICU for a week. He was only going 10 miles an hour on a four-wheeler, and it threw him off. But the point is, maybe I am the Bible that he's supposed to be reading. You know, that gets close to home. That really jolted me back a little bit, especially this last accident that happened. He's up there in ICU, and I'm thinking, what have I done to reach out to him? This gets on a personal level here. And it goes even beyond that. I mean, it's all the things, your actions, your reactions, the words that you say or the words you don't say. That's studying for the test. You understand what I'm saying? And we don't know when the Lord might throw a pop quiz on one of us. It could be one of us sitting here today, then maybe next week, next month. We don't know. We might not be here. You ever thought about that? That is really sobering. So back to this thought, or the two thoughts. Take time to smell the roses and take time to be holy. That's what we're going to read here, these next couple of scriptures. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You realize that is the only reason God is allowing time to continue? Is to give time for more souls to prepare for this test someday. To prepare for the end of time, the end of their time. God is extending time for you and I right now. What time is it now? About 11:45. All right? I've been up here about 30 minutes. God has given you 30 minutes, okay, in studying for this test. All right? Then when we leave here, God may give you another 30 minutes. He may give you 3 hours. He may give you 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months. I don't know. None of us know how much more time we have to study for this test. But then it goes on, verse 10. And this bears out this thought. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. I can relate to that on a very personal level. We have been broken into our place by a couple of thieves that stole some things from us. We had no clue they were out there. We were asleep in the house and they're rummaging around out in the garage in the shop stealing stuff. But that's the point here, is it can come unsuspecting. We never know. You know what? Those thieves didn't call me up the day prior and say, hey, by the way, but we're going to be showing up on a Wednesday night, April whatever time, 2003 or whatever. We're going to be showing up and we're going to take such and such things from you. No, they didn't prepare me for that. I wake up the next morning, go hop in my truck to take off to work, and lo and behold, my seat's pushed forward. Things are missing out of my truck, some tools and different things. And then I'm seeing the trunk was partially open in the vehicle. And then there's a door kicked in back here. And I'm thinking, something's going on. A thief came. But that's what this is talking about. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. It's going to be a surprise. But won't that be wonderful? If we've been studying and preparing, I'm going to tell you something. This used to kind of really get on my nerves in school. There were some students there that were very intellectual. And they had studied and they had prepared. It's almost like, ooh, goody. They were excited about test day. I'm thinking, well, I don't understand that. But the reason they were excited is they were ready. They were prepared. It's like, no big deal. I already know everything. I'm like, yeah, I know. And I don't. I was not excited about it, but here it was no big deal. They waltz right into the room. They sat down on the desk, whistling a little tune, and oh yeah, it's test day, no big deal. And I'm thinking, and I'm over there, I'm cram studying. Be quiet, I'm trying to study, But here's the deal: if we are prepared, if we've been studying, if we've been spending time with the Lord, and our heart is right with the Lord, we can go on living life. And not worrying, not fretting, not biting our fingernails, so to speak, and just telling everybody, leave me alone, we're at peace. We're not afraid, we're not ashamed. We're not full of fear and doubt and like, oh, I hope I study the right chapter. I've done that before. Study the wrong chapter and what's this? We don't have to be surprised. But with the Lord, we study the good book. And we live the good book out in our life. Guess what? We don't have to be afraid when test day comes. Or when there might be a pop quiz in our life. We say, Lord, I'm ready. Nothing to be afraid of. Nothing to be ashamed of. Isn't that wonderful? We can have that peace. As the scripture says, that passeth all understanding. Because truly all around us is chaos. Is sin. People trying to fill their segment, their life, with all the things they want to do. Okay? You know what they're doing? They're procrastinating. But someday, there's going to be a test day. Someday, there'll be a pop quiz. And as the scripture said, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then, here's the key, dear ones. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? That's what I was talking about. The phrase, like the song says, take time to be holy. Because it goes on. If you've been doing that, verse 12, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Isn't that wonderful? We can be in that condition. We can be prepared to go. We can be ready. It's like, okay, Lord, when's the next test? When's the pop quiz? I'm ready. Isn't that wonderful? We have that opportunity. We don't have to be running around, all scared, all frightened, because we've procrastinated for so many years or so many days, because we're not studying, we're not ready. Like, oh no, I'm not ready. But we can come to the Lord in peace, saying, Lord, I'm ready. I'm at your service. What do you want me to do now, Lord? Is there something else you want me to fill my time with? And be open to say, Lord, I've been doing this, but if you want me to do that, I'll do this. That's being prepared. That's preparing your heart for the final day, the judgment day, the test day. But this is something I hope you all understand. I'm not trying to scare you. We've heard this all of our life. At least I have. We've heard these type of warnings and these cautions. But it's so easy, especially in our modern day and age, to get caught up with all the affairs of life that we forget to study for the test of our souls. You pray for me that I would do accordingly.